preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Praise your holy name, Jesus. Your name is above every name. We thank you that it is by your name and your name alone that we might be saved from our sins, that we might be delivered from the wrath to come, that we can escape hell and have eternal life in heaven. God, I pray that many, many more people, Lord, will see that truth, that you love them so much that you died on the cross for their sins, you rose from the dead on the third day, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man will come before the Father in heaven, no man will, but through faith and repentance in your name, Jesus. Lord, we pray the gospel will go forth in power. Lord, that all parts of things that are in your word, everything, Lord, the whole counsel of your word will convict us of sin, and cause us to draw near to you, God. God, you promised if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. And we thank you for that promise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you may be seated this morning. We welcome those of you listening by Blog Talk Radio, those of you watching and listening by Periscope this morning. Welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. Technology is amazing, isn't it? Blew me away. We normally have our Tuesday night radio show. We normally have it at 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights, but a couple of times here recently we had to have it on Wednesday night. So this past Wednesday night, we had 81 viewers live on Periscope, plus another 60-something listening live by Blog Talk Radio, and of course that doesn't count the several hundred since in the archive. So technology is amazing when it works, of course, and technology can be used for good or bad, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that today, about it being used for bad. I've been doing some more study and compiling some things, and I won't be able to share it all this morning. We are going to have two videos that are going to last about, one's about 2 minutes and one's about 9 minutes. So I want you to pay close attention. But first, let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. And you know, even though we discuss these things in this church, we have new listeners all the time. And of course, as Peter said, that he didn't think it was wrong to, as long as he was in the physical body, to continually put us, or put, you know, the people that he preached to in remembrance of the things that are written. But there's new developments all the time in the realm of Bible prophecy, and especially where we're going to be headed. I believe between now and 2020, things are going to get real interesting when it comes to what the Bible foretold, the cashless society that's coming, the global cashless society foretold in the Bible, and the implants that the Bible calls the mark of the beast. And what you're going to find out this morning is that the Bible is very accurate. 2,000 years ago, I mean, think about it. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came upon John, the Apostle John, caught him up to heaven, gave him a vision of the things that would happen, really a lot of it from that point on, but especially in the last days or the last generation of mankind before Jesus would come back. And one of the things that he said was, and then we're going to read it here in Revelation 13, one of the things he said was that there will come a day when they will force or mandate upon everyone that they will have to have something in their right hand or their forehead. And without that, they will not be able to buy or sell. And without that, you will be marked as a rebel. You'll be marked for death or imprisonment or both. And believe it or not, you know, we've heard a lot in the last few years about the RFID, the radio frequency identification chips that can be implanted in your hand. They're about the size of a grain of rice. We're going to see that in the videos here in a minute. But now they're talking about not just the implants in your hand, but remember the Bible said in your hand or in your forehead. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but there's not much place to stick anything in your forehead, right? I mean, if it's right under the skin and between the bone and the skin, it's going to be pretty obvious, right? I think that it means in your brain. And guess what? The technology is now here for them to put all kinds of nano computer microchips in your brain. They're talking about doing this to children at birth. They're also talking about doing it, and really I believe they're already doing it, through vaccines. Because now the microchips, the nanochips, they're so small, nanotechnology is so small, it could be put in your drink, it could be put in your food, it could be put in a hypodermic needle and injected into your body. These things are real, but now they're talking about these chips that can be implanted in your brain and can record your memories. I mean, it's getting creepy. It's getting Minority Report creepy. Talking about changing the way you think, not taking away individuality, taking away basically your free will. You won't be allowed to think differently. And this is actually happening. Now, I'm going to read the passage of Scripture, and then we're going to look at these videos because I want you to see these. It's just a couple. One's a news report. I think it's a local Fox News station somewhere in the country. It's about 2 minutes. And the other one is kind of a breakdown of the brain implants. And then we're going to talk about that a little bit. I know I've mentioned these things before, but I felt this morning that we needed to go into a little more detail because, listen, the warning in here, and like I said, we're going to read it before we do this, but the warning in the Bible is that when this comes down, when this begins to happen, if you willingly submit to taking this chip in your right hand or in your forehead, submitting to the New World Order, the New World Government, and the leader of that New World Order, if you submit to it and you take it, the Bible says, and we're going to read it in Revelation 14, that there will be no forgiveness for you. That whosoever takes the mark of the beast will be tormented with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. See, this is why this should be paramount in preachers, pastors, ministers across the country, across the world right now. This should be a very serious warning because we're not quite there yet. We're almost there. But we are to be warned by the scriptures of something that could damn your soul to hell for all eternity. I would say that's pretty important information. And that's why I know I may weary my congregation with this stuff. But the bottom line is that I am called to give the warning. And sometimes just for the sake of new viewers, new listeners, new people, new Christians, people from all over, it's important to continue to repeat these warnings that are very serious. I mean, I take it as serious, the mark of the beast issue, because I believe we live in the time, in the generation that's going to see this happen. You know, a lot of people say, well, Jesus could come at any moment. See, and I want to stress this because a lot of people think that this issue is not important. A lot of Christians even think that this issue of the mark of the beast is not important because they think we're going to be raptured out of here before the mark of the beast comes. But there's a problem with that. And as a matter of fact, why don't we just look at it real quick before we read Revelation 13 and 14 here. But go to Revelation 20, and let's just make one of our points here, because you're not going to be raptured out of here before the rise of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, unless you die before it happens, you're going to be here. I believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. My children's lifetime. Now, I have grown children and I have a smaller child. But I believe for sure it is happening in this generation. I have no doubt about it. There's a lot of people that say it's not going to happen anytime soon. We have 50 years, 100 years. But I got news for you. That's not what the world's saying. That's not what the banking system is saying. In fact, I'm going to show you some recent articles that talk about we are very close. All the nations of the world and the bankers across the world are calling now to do away with cash completely and to do away with credit cards. Well, what does that leave? If you do away with cash and you do away with debit cards and credit cards and ATMs, that only leaves you two options: your phone or something implanted in your hand or your forehead. Now, guess what? They're talking about using both right now. So I think the phone will be a transition. The phone's going to be a transition. And, you know, people can what? You can drop a phone. You can break a phone, right? You can drop a phone, break a phone, or a phone can get stolen, right? But kind of hard to get something out of your hand that's surgically put there and has a membrane on it that grows to the inside of your body. And certainly if it's implanted in your brain, who's going to go in and get that out? Right? So we're talking about real news. These are not conspiracy theories anymore. These are not, you know, movie themes. And this is what blows me away, and I'll share this before we read this in Revelation 20, but last night, you know, we had Nancy's daughter Brittany and her husband and the grandkids were at the house, and of course, they wanted us to see the recent James Bond movie, the, what was it, Spectre. And I wanted to see it because, of course, I know that the movie industry is controlled by the Illuminati, and they have to telegraph what they're going to do. And I was blown away because, well, first of all, for a Bond movie, it was actually kind of clean. It really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Very little language and anything else. I still wouldn't advise it for children, though. But what was interesting about the movie is that he is in the beginning on a mission in Mexico City, and he's really not supposed to be there. So when he gets back, he gets in trouble with his superiors in MI6. And so they sit him down in a chair, and they inject him. And his scientist friend, Q, the doctor, says, "We've just injected you with smart blood in his right arm, smart blood." He said, "These are nanochips, microchips, that will let us know where you are at all times." And he showed it on the screen, showed the DNA helix, it showed his blood flowing through a vein, and it showed the microchips in there, the nanochips. And, of course, they did. They tracked him everywhere he went from that point on. All right? But what was amazing about this movie was not only did it have letting you know where the technology is headed and where we're headed, but it also revealed and showed that there is behind the governments of the world, behind even most of your intelligence agencies of the world, whether it be MI6 or the CIA or the Mossad, or whatever, behind them, there is a shadow government. There is an elite group of people that really rule the world. And their goal in this movie, they revealed the goal of these people. They meet in secret. They are everywhere. They have the power over the governments of the world. And what they were trying to get the world leaders to do and all the nations of the world, they were trying to get them to sign on to this global surveillance system where everyone would be watched and listened to at all times. Even in the movie, they said this is George Orwell's nightmare coming true. One nation in this movie was holding out. South Africa was holding out, and they had to have a unanimous vote to everyone to sign on to this new system that would be a centralized spying agency. And what was interesting is the big data center they had in the movie was out in the desert. And that's just what they built not too long ago in the Utah desert here in the United States, which is to store data on everything you do, every phone call you make, every text message, every email, everything. I mean, now we find out that they're spying on us through TV sets, through phones. They can listen at any given time. The last vestige of privacy that we have right now is the ability to use cash and actually make a transaction privately with somebody without the government knowing what we're doing. And they want to take that away. Because think about it, you control the money and the food, you control the people. And that's what they want. And so in this movie, Spectre, this group says they want global surveillance over everyone so that they can bring in a global government. And they mocked and laughed at democracy. Oh, yeah, one held out, and the way they got South Africa to submit to the program was they did false flag terrorist attacks. And it come to find out this is how they were getting every nation. They were sending in agents to perpetrate terrorist attacks so that these countries would say we need more surveillance and give up our freedom and our privacy. And every bit of it's happening. Every single bit of what they're talking about is happening. Now, of course, in the movie, they fight it. Of course, Bond and the old guard, the old order of MI6 fight it and supposedly stop it. Well, it's not going to be stopped because it's in the Bible. It's going to happen, right? But just so you know, you Christians that believe pre-trib rapture, just so you know that we're going to face the mark of the beast. It's Revelation chapter 20. Now remember, the pre-trib rapture doctrine teaches that before the tribulation begins, the last 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel, before that last 7 years begins, the pre-tribulation rapture says there's going to be the rapture of the church. The righteous dead, they're in Christ, Jesus, that were walking with the Lord but died, they will be resurrected and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And the pre-trib rapture doctrine says then the great tribulation will start, the Antichrist will rise to power. The 3.5 or midpoint of that time is when the mark of the beast will be issued. There'll be a great persecution against those that remain, those that turn to Christ after the rapture. This is what they say. And there'll be a great persecution and will ultimately lead to the attack on Israel from every side and the Battle of Armageddon and the return of Jesus. Now, most of that's true. Most of that's the truth except for the pre-trib rapture doctrine, because we got a problem. According to the Bible, according to Revelation 13, we're going to read in just a second, the beast world government and the Antichrist, the man that will represent it, says that he will issue this mark at the point he has 42 months to continue. That's what Revelation 13 says. So if this mark is issued when he has 42 months to continue, 42 months is 3.5 years. That means that the mark will not be forced upon the world until we reach the middle of the last 7 years, right? Okay. Well, Revelation 20 says this, and we're going to read it. Verse 4. He says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such as the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this chapter goes on to say, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus upon the earth is when the dead, the wicked dead, those who were never saved, the unsaved dead, will be raised up to be judged. There's two judgments. There's two resurrections. One is at the second coming of Jesus at Armageddon. There will be the resurrection of the righteous, and there's the resurrection of the wicked 1,000 years later. Say it with me, folks. There are only two mass resurrections in the last days. The righteous dead, the wicked dead. I know Perry Stone likes to say there's like 5 or 6. I don't know where he gets that from. There's not. Jesus even said it. John chapter 5, Jesus taught there would be two resurrections, the resurrection unto life, eternal life, and the resurrection unto damnation, eternal damnation. Jesus made that very clear. There are only two resurrections, all right? But I want you to notice something here. When he talks about the first resurrection, and everybody, let me just say, for those that are new to our ministry here, that are listening or watching, let me just say that the term rapture is not in the Bible, okay? The term is being caught up, but it should be called the first resurrection because it is literally from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that we, the dead in Christ, will rise first, and we which are alive. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, what? He said, this mortal body will put on immortality, okay? So it's a resurrection when you go from mortal to immortal. When you go from dead to alive eternally. It's a resurrection. It's not a rapture, okay? That is not the term. What happens is there's a resurrection, there's a changing, and then there's a catching up. That's the rapture. Now, what we have here, he says this. He says, Jesus said, I saw those, or John says it, Jesus revealed it to him. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, judgment was given. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that's part of the first resurrection. So let me ask you a question. Those of you that believe pre-trib rapture doctrine, how in the world do we have people who stood against the Antichrist, who died for not taking the mark of the beast? They were killed as Christian martyrs because they refused to take the mark of the beast. How do we have them saying they are in the first resurrection? How do we have that? How can there be a resurrection before the mark of the beast? It can't happen. Doesn't exist. Not true. The pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is a doctrine of men. We will be here to face this. So we go back to Revelation 13, and here's what it says. We're going to read it. Revelation 13, we're going to go down to talking about the second beast. Well, I guess we'll just read from verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the 666 issue this morning. Just the fact that this mark, the true, the best, I believe the best English translation that we have of the Bible, the King James Version, has always said that the mark of the beast would be in the right hand or in the forehead. In, not on. That's different, isn't it? Right? I remember there was that old comedian, George Carlin. He's a foul-mouthed individual, but I remember him saying years ago, they say, you know, get on the plane. And he would tell them, no, I'm getting in the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. Right? There's a difference between getting in something and getting on something, right? In the right hand or the forehead. Now look at Revelation 14. This is why this is so important. And this is why I'm going to repeat this message again and again and again and again. Look at what verse, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, it's both times it tells you in the forehead or in the hand, right? He says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for a little while, for a temporary period. No, forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Listen, what this is saying here is very clearly. If you take the mark of the beast in your right hand or your forehead so that you may buy or sell, so that you won't be persecuted or killed or martyred or whatever, if you love your life more than you love this warning from the Word of God, it says very clearly that you are denying the faith of Jesus Christ. You hear that? That's why he says here, he says, this is the patience, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So if you take the mark of the beast, the coming world government, the coming world leader, the Antichrist, if you take this mark so that you may buy and sell, and your right hand and your forehead. Not only will you be tormented with fire and brimstone in hell for all eternity, the reason for it is because it is a disobedience of the commands of God, and it is a rejection of the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is what I believe, and this is why I'm going to show you this morning. I want you to see this video here in a minute. I believe that the chip, the coming chip, is going to mess with your mind, your brain. And that once you give permission for this, you may not ever get back your free will to choose. It may be wiped from you. I believe this is why God's warning about this is so strong. See, technology is great when it's used for good. Now, they're trying to sell this right now as a good thing. Oh, to help you find people that get lost or get kidnapped. Or to help you if you ever end up at the hospital unconscious and they don't know you, who you are, they don't know your medical information. That's all the big, you know, it's always, listen, everything's always sold to us as good. You know, the Patriot Act, sold to us. Oh, we need the Patriot Act for security. America's going to have to give up some privacy for security. Now, what you're giving up is your Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. If you'll give up your Fourth Amendment rights, what will stop you from giving up your Second Amendment rights or your First Amendment rights? All right? This is not a game. They want you to be convinced to give up your rights for some kind of peace and security. Right? That's the game. And that's what it really comes down to, too. When it comes down to health care in the days ahead, when it comes down to being able to buy or sell, the real issue for Christians, for us, is are we going to be able to trust God when there appears to be no way? When we can't have access to health care, or we can't have access to the grocery store or a bank account or money, will we continue to be faithful to God, to Jesus, and continue to trust Him? Amen? Because that's what it all boils down to. We're going to trust God or the government. This is why I believe the satanic, demonic elements within the governments of the world has tried for decades and decades to build into people that we need to rely on the government to take care of us. Because ultimately, that's what the mark of the beast is, the government taking care of you instead of God. And you trusting the government instead of trusting God. See, whenever the government takes the place of God, we have a problem. Right? That's where Peter and John and them says better that we obey God than men. There comes a point where you have to draw the line in the sand. And I'm just going to tell you guys, with this vaccine issue, do not take from henceforth, I would say, and I'm not ashamed to say, but I would never take another vaccine. I don't care what it's for. I don't care if it's a flu vaccine. I don't care if it's Ebola vaccine. I don't care what they come out with. Not my children, not my wife, not me, not anybody. Do not take their crap. I mean, when the government gives immunity to a drug company that they cannot be sued, then they can do whatever they want. They can put whatever they want in it. And really, a lot of the stuff, the reason that the vaccines aren't pure is simply financial. It takes too much money to make them pure or to not put the mercury, the thimerosal in them, to the preservative, because they'll go bad. It's all dollar bills. And they don't care about us. In fact, the true global elites want to kill us off. They want to reduce the population of the world. Just look at the Georgia Guidestones, the New World Order, Ten Commandments. The first one is to drop the population of the world to 500 million and maintain it there. Well, if you drop the population of the world to 500 million people, what happens to the other 6.5 billion people? Where do they go? This is what Bill Gates wants to do. Their eugenist, Ted Turner. Let me just tell you, Hillary Clinton's part of it too. And Bill Clinton. and Al Gore and most of the Republicans, because they've been told, hey, listen, the devil is promising these people who are the wealthy elite and leaders of the world. He's promising this. Look, you're elite. You're smarter than these other people. You've got the money. You've got the education. You've got the genetics or whatever. What if you're in with our club, we're going to take care of you. Everybody's going to be chipped. We're going to take care of you. It's going to be good. Just sign on to the plan. That's why you see both Republicans and Democrats giving in to this agenda, why they won't secure our border, why they give in to the United Nations and Agenda 21 and this Agenda 2030 and all this other stuff that they're doing. Both Republicans and Democrats are traitors to the United States of America, to our freedom, to our sovereignty, to our Constitution, to everything, because the devil's told them. He's told them, number one, we'll take care of you. You'll be part of our club. We'll take care of you financially, your needs, and everything else. Also, we have the technology now. We're going to make it where you'll be able to live forever without God. That's the promise that these people are getting, is that they're working toward this transhumanist agenda where they can merge with machines and merge with technology so that they don't die. And they're trying to get to a place where they are basically, as Satan promised Adam and Eve in the garden when he lied, you will not surely die. You will be as gods. That's what they believe they're going to become. And you know what's amazing is these elite Luciferian, Illuminati, Satan-worshipping, Satan-pledging of allegiance to that whole his whole plan, they actually believe that they will be able to fight Jesus when he returns and win. This is what the real high up ones believe, that they will use their technology and the armies of the world and controlling the population and using most of them as slaves, slave soldiers, super soldiers that they're wanting to create, that they're going to use them to defeat Jesus and his armies when he returns. That's what they believe. So this is not a game. These people really believe this stuff, right? Let's do this. We're going to watch these couple of videos so you can see this stuff's in the news. This is not just Pastor Dean making this stuff up. I've given you the Bible passages. And I want you to watch a couple of videos just to see it for yourself. Go right ahead.
In medical news tonight, a chip the size of a grain of rice could save your life.
So it's my call with Dr. Jay Adlersberg. Jay?
Saturday, Diana, what happens if you're in a bad accident and can't communicate with emergency workers and doctors? New microchip technology now makes it possible for the emergency room staff to find out about your medical history at the touch of a computer key. In an emergency room, a split-second decision can mean the difference between life and death.
So many emergency physicians have to operate blind. We have to make medical decisions not knowing what medicines you take or what allergies you have.
Hi, Dr. Hawamka. We're going to check your scan today, okay?
Harvard doctor John Hawamka says this radio frequency identification chip may solve that problem. He had it implanted in his right upper arm. A scanner reads an identification number. Those 16 digits are then entered into a secure website where his medical history is stored. EMT worker Brian Orsatti says the chip could help emergency workers.
One of the big things is if you ever have some type of trauma patient where they come in and they're unable to give you their information and or their medical history.
Anyone can get the chip, and while some patients may be concerned about privacy issues, Dr. Hawamka says the benefits are clear.
I'm a rock climber, and I believe that if I fall off a cliff and you find me unconscious, the comfort of being able to scan me and figure out who I am outweighs my concern for privacy.
The chip is encased in unbreakable glass and is about the size of a grain of rice. The procedure is done with anesthesia and is relatively pain-free.
It's like putting a knitting needle under your skin.
But in this case, he says getting something under your skin is a good thing.
And about 80 centers around the country have the device that can detect the chip. If hospitals purchase this detection equipment, the system will most likely start to include more and more people in those communities who will want the chips. For more on this computerization of your medical records, see our website, 7online.com.
Wow.
Interesting. Everybody could have one of those one day.
So imagine a young woman, she's just given birth, and then she needs to make the decision. Is she going to have her baby modified? Is she going to turn that baby into a cyborg? This grain of sand, in a sense, that's been nanotech'd, is inserted into the human brain, the baby's brain, and it integrates itself into the brain. So that baby, in effect, is no longer human. That woman, in a sense, has killed her baby. Killed her baby. Killed her baby. Killed, in a sense, the baby is no longer human. It's effectively an artelect. It's an artelect in human disguise.
End of the discussion, the swine flu was mentioned, and a lady got up and declared the following. This is what this lady said. A friend of hers works for a pharmaceutical company in Vienna and told her that the swine flu injection needles indeed contain nanoparticles in the very tip of the needle, which cannot be detected with the naked eye, but are clearly visible with as little as a 12 times magnifying microscope, like a children's toy microscope. The staff of the pharmaceutical company was advised that these nanoparticles work in the human body like a motherboard in the computer, and lots of data can be stored on it. The lady further disclosed that she was working in the medical field. She had asked the lawyers who came to her as a patient how it was possible to avoid being chipped. He told her that he was aware of the planned chipping of the population, and in fact, most upper-class members of society were aware of this plan.
If you look at things historically, every brick fits into place. And from the prime mover, I don't even care who it might be, but the result of wanting to control and dominate, that's pretty much the universal. And you look over the last couple hundred years, and boy, we're marching down that road. Now, Alan, what's interesting about that is also from time immemorial, even though people might want to be led or guided by a greater power, governmentally or otherwise, the desire for individuality is certainly a pressing desire in human nature. People are not willingly going to embrace this, even with a level of fear.
Now,
when you're talking about things like chips that stop individuality, I don't care how afraid somebody is, they're not going to willingly say, hand me one of those.
That's right. You'd have to have incredible chaos or starvation even, or else many years of a build-up to it. Albert Pike said himself, we never begin a premature revolution. We lay out the groundwork of years ahead to prepare the minds of the people. Well, at the Loyola University meeting, these guys never mentioned politics. They weren't giving out a wish list put through by politics. They worked for the real bosses of the world. And he said that... this will be a positive thing and taught to be a positive thing from kindergarten, as I said, through novels, through cartoons, movies, etc., is a positive thing to advance towards. And sure enough, after that meeting, out comes the first Robin Williams movie with a movie called The Cutter.
iTech introduces the ninth generation of an entirely organic scientific breakthrough. The Zoe implant.
There you are. There's the chip in the brain, and it's going to be a nice thing. You can have a deceased family member's chip removed, downloaded to see through his eyes as he grew up, etc.
All that you see with your eyes, and all that you hear with your ears, will be preserved so that it can be experienced by loved ones who leave behind.
And now they'll put it in cartoons for the children where they'll be superheroes and have all these special powers. And in other words, they're going to give you a virtual reality. That's how they're going to sell it to the public.
Some scientists predict that in the future we'll have a memory chip. We'll be able to file away and store memories and vastly improve our memory. Maybe one day we'll have a vision chip, which could help victims of strokes and accidents. And some scientists predict
that one day we could even have
a thinking chip.
You see, but the next step was this active chip, which they've tested out for many years.
Implanted
in the brain.
In the brain?
In the brain. Just like the Matrix movie, you know.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Merging our minds with machines may sound like science fiction, but it's already happening.
Much of what we've considered science fiction and fantasy is in fact true. And then when people realize that, now we get a different situation.
In the late 1800s, the Rothschilds created a foundation in England to encourage authors to write about certain topics which the Rothschilds defined. So they were trying to start off science fiction writers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Travis Scott later gave the term to this process, where you read novels, now it's watching movies, but then it was novels aimed at the young, to make those young people excited about this imaginative future that could be brought forth. And Travis Scott calls it predictive programming.
Programming, there you go.
So that's what all fiction really has been for, from then on, at least, maybe even before.
Was frightening as hell just to read that. I mean, we're barely prepared for microchips in the arm and don't want it.
Yeah.
But in terms of in the brain, that's so beyond chilling that it's almost incomprehensible that it would get there without massive outcry. Now, it almost seems like the generation that is here now, you and I, we've got to be off the planet before they can pull that off.
We would love that, and that's the way it was worded in the 600-page the documentation that came out, which I have. I got someone to go into the university's website and get it all before they took it down.
Wow.
And the guy from Tokyo that helped us to design this latest model, because they've tried it since the 1960s on unsuspecting victims. It has a coating on it which literally interfaces with your genetic material, so you can't simply cut it out.
Right.
And it also interfaces in such a way that it attaches itself to the cortex, the little neurons in your brain. And you, they said, this will be the end of individuality as we know it. He says, once this, the guy's words were from Tokyo, he said, when this is working and everyone has it, he said, there'll be no more individuality and no ability for the person to even perceive of themselves as a distinct, separate individual. He said, think of it more like the beehive, and that the beehive has for thousands of years has been the high occultic symbol, the perfect system. He said, you'll hear people's whispers of their thoughts going through your mind back to the central computers, and from the computers back to the people, a constant buzz in your head of thoughts. It says, but it will be impossible for a person to even begin to think of themselves as a distinct, separate entity.
I know some of that may have been difficult to hear, but we can send it out so that you can hear it at home if you need to. But they were talking about the chip in the brain. Now, if you think this is odd, let me give you, I'm going to look at an article here, and I pulled this up. This is Washington Post, and this was from 2014, Washington Post article. I think Kevin's got it just to show you. But it's called New Obama Plan Calls for Implanted Computer Chips to Help U.S. Troops Heal. Mind-blowing. Let me read some of this here. It says, when President Obama on Tuesday highlighted 19 executive actions he says he is taking to improve the mental health of U.S. troops and veterans, one of them centered on a particularly novel effort, the development of new computer chips designed to modulate the nervous system to help with everything from arthritis to post-traumatic stress. The project is headed by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, otherwise known as DARPA. This is a Pentagon agency that develops a variety of high-tech equipment for the U.S. military. It's known as the Electrical Prescriptions Program, the ELECT-RX, pronounced electrics, program. Officials say the goal is to develop a technology that could help people heal more quickly through the use of biosensors and electromagnetic devices that control human organs. Instead of relying on medication, we envision a closed-loop system that would work in concept like a tiny intelligent pacemaker, said Doug Weber, the program manager. It would continually assess conditions and provide stimulus patterns tailored to help maintain healthy organ function, helping the patients get healthy and stay healthy using their own, their body's own systems. Now, remember, we're talking about the brain here. Post-traumatic stress is mental. It's an emotional, it's a psychological issue. So they're talking about manipulating both your psychological thought processes and your emotions. This article goes on to say Obama did not reference the new program directly in his speech Tuesday at the American Legion National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. In a joint fact sheet released by the Pentagon and the Department of Veterans Affairs, however, the agency said that DARPA will start a new $78.9 million five-year research program to develop new minimally invasive neurotechnologies. What is neurotechnologies? In the brain, in the nervous system, that will increase the ability of the body and brain to induce healing. It's part of the Obama administration's larger brain initiative, which involves the National Institutes of Health, DARPA, the National Science Foundation, and the Food and Drug Administration, among other organizations. Officials say the brain initiative, which stands for brain research through advanced innovative neurotechnologies, includes a related DARPA effort to build new brain chips that will be able to predict moods and to help treat post-traumatic stress. It's known as SUBNETS program, short for Systems-Based Neurotechnology for Emerging Therapies. Teams at both the University of California, San Francisco, and Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston are involved. The major hurdle for the ELECT-RX program may be shrinking the technology needed so that it can be used in the body. Implantable devices already are in use to fight inflammatory diseases and other health problems, but most are about the size of a deck of cards, requiring surgical implantation that can result in side effects. DARPA officials said they want to ultra-miniaturized devices. Now, let me just say this. They already have them. This is just for public consumption to make you think we're not there yet. We're there. This is to get funding to take it further. We're much further along than this. It says that they want these ultra miniaturized devices that would be inserted through needle injection or other less invasive means. Well, if you're not going to put it in the body by a needle, how do you put it in the body? Through your nose, through your mouth? I mean, it's getting quite scary, right? So you put this in combination with just these that I pulled up this morning, and we're about to get out of here. I'm just going to share these with you, which I gave you the other article, the Cashless Society. Again, mind blowing. This is CNBC. I don't know which one I gave you there. Is that the American Thinker one? Okay. Well, let me just read this before we get to that. This is CNBC. This is an article here. If it'll load here. I don't know what it's doing. Okay. Well, this one's not going to load for some reason. But this one right here, this is American Thinker. This is just list some of the recent things. I mean, this is February the 8th, 2016. Just scroll up just a little bit so I can see some of these right here. But notice it says, a recent look at some headlines, all less than 2 months old, gives us a scary view as to what is coming. Bring on the cashless future, Bloomberg. China buyers go virtually cashless, the Star. Norway's biggest bank calls for a country to stop using cash, International Business Times. They got all the links here. Cashless future underway as Canadian consumers have more credit, debit, and app options than ever, CBC. In Sweden, a cash-free future nears, New York Times. Germany proposes new cash ban and capital controls as Europe rushes toward NARP, Examiner. With the Western world and China in danger of going into deflation, major banks have already started to charge negative interest rates. Denmark's central bank was a pioneer when it first cut its deposit rate below zero in 2012, and the trend has now spread to the Eurozone and Japan. Danish deposit rates now stands at minus 0.65%. You know what a negative interest rate is? It's when you start getting charged, right? Just for them to help you with your money. I don't need that kind of help, right? But it just goes on to talk about how Sweden is going to follow suit. The USA is set to follow. Major bankers are calling for an abolition of money. This is February 2016 article saying all these articles are less than 2 months old, okay? So this is why I do this. I want to give you guys an update and let you know. This is happening, exactly what the Bible said. Now, this is what I want to point out. Folks, right now, Christianity is under attack. The Bible is under attack. Oh, it's just written by men. It's full of fairy tales. It's all this stuff. Folks, hear what I'm saying. Bible prophecy, end-time Bible prophecy, and what we're seeing with the specifics of this. I just gave you, did I not just give you videos, news reports, newspaper articles talking about having a chip implanted in your hand? And listen, the Bible considered your hand or your right hand all your whole arm, okay? So it doesn't matter if it's down here or if it's up here. It's still your hand, your arm. And in your forehead. Now, I didn't even go into all the articles that talk about the brain implants, okay? But the Bible said, think about this, 2,000-year-old prophecy. The day is coming. A one-world government is coming. The nations of the world will unite under one authority. Do we see that happening? It said when that happens, they will be antichrist. You ever seen a more antichrist period in the history of mankind? He said there will be antichrist, and they will cause everyone, small, great, rich, poor, to receive a mark in their right hand and forehead without which no man can buy or sell. Right now we're seeing the technology exists. Now, think about what we just read here, these list of articles. What can you imagine will be taking place between now and 2020? Where will we be in 3.5 years from right now? Same place? I don't think so either. But folks, this is a tremendous, not only are we as Christians supposed to warn others, but this right here is not just for a warning. This is a proof that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. The fact God could speak to his apostle John and to the other apostles and prophets and give such specifics about a time we would live in that would be very near the second coming of Jesus. Listen, this puts the Quran does not do this. The Hindu Vedas does not do this, right? There's no other religious writing in the world. Nostradamus doesn't even come close. Nostradamus has got all kind of wild, vague quatrains, they call them. He was an occultist. The Bible gave us specific things about politics, about the end-time economy and politics and nations. He gave specifics. We don't have to guess what they are. We've got people right now running around. I mean, we have people saying that the mark of the beast, oh, that's just in your brain. You decide you're gonna follow the devil. Well, how does that control your buying and selling? Right? Then we got people saying, oh, it's just about Islam, that the mark of the beast is when they get down and they bow on their little carpets and they do it five times a day and they get a little mark on their forehead. And then I've heard the mark of the beast on your forehead is the wearing the symbol of Allah on a headband. I mean, I start hearing all this crazy stuff, but I'm like, you have to put it all together. The mark of the beast has to include not just some kind of identification mark, not just some kind of spiritual act or mental act. It's got to include something that can control whether you buy or sell, whether you participate in an economy. And then for the Bible to say that all buying and selling globally will go to a point where there is no cash, there is no money, there is no denarii, no coin. It's all going to be done through something in your hand or forehead. Can you imagine? The Bible foretold a cashless society coming. How specific is that? You would think that these world leaders and these bankers, these global bankers, would not say it so publicly. But think about this. Think about how many pastors and ministers of the gospel don't even talk about this. And it's happening. It's happening right now. We're watching it happen. They're preaching about how to deal with stress at work, or how to have your best life now, or how to make every day a Friday. I don't even know what that means. You're talking about how to be, you know, more successful at work. That's the sermon. How to have the attitude of gratitude. And we've got the rise of the world government, the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the mark of the beast, the cashless money system. All this stuff is happening, and most of the churches in America don't even talk about it. Don't even mention it. And if they do, don't worry about it, folks. We're out of here. We're out of here before that happens, so don't worry about it. I'm telling you, I believe, now this is not thus saith the Lord or a prophecy. This is just what I as a human being from reading and looking, just deduction, it may be longer, but I'm just telling you. I think between now and 2020, it's going to be done or it's going to be initiated. That's just me. Now, it could be 21, 22. I'm not saying exact. I don't know. I'm just saying I have this feeling, but every bit of information that I've looked at over the last few years, it seems to be their goal is to have this done between 2017 and 2020 for sure. And then you couple this together with everything else that's happening. The Middle East peace process that's now being pushed to be done, forced by UN Security Council resolution by this fall. That Israel and the Palestinians will be forced by UN resolution to create the Palestinian state, to divide the land of Israel and to do this. So that's going to happen at some point. Then you have what's going on in the Middle East with the war. Syria still. Iran pushing for a nuclear bomb. Israel's not going to sit there forever and let Iran get a nuclear bomb. So you've got all these things. It's not just, and this is the reason I'm making this point, it's not just one thing. It's not just the mark of the beast or the cashless society or the implant. It's everything converging now. And look, it's not the issue is not whether it happens this year or next year or the year after that. That's not really the issue. The issue is we've got a powerful tool of evangelism. We also have the responsibility as Christians to warn others. Because, hey, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, your lifetime, the adults here. Let's just say it's not. But don't you want your children and your grandchildren to be warned and to be prepared for this? Of course. How can we not talk about it? Well, it's scary, Pastor Dean. Well, you know what? A lot of things are scary. I mean, we have to talk to our children now. It wasn't so bad when we were young, but now we have to talk to our children now about strangers. You know, we know somebody could ride by and try to kidnap our children if they're playing in the front yard, if we turn our head. I mean, we didn't used to have to say, hey, you know, you can't play out in the yard unless I'm out there. But that's the world we live in. I know it's terrible. I know it's scary. It's terrible we have to teach our kids about this. But that what is it? How many tens of thousands of kids go missing every year? And we know what's happening to them. Right? I know things are scary. I know things are uncomfortable. But being warned, being informed, being prepared is better than being ignorant, right? I thank God that the Bible warns us ahead of time. Amen? Stuff's happening. Next time you hear somebody in your family say, I don't know if I believe the Bible, well, you need to show them this. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible is inspired by God Almighty. You don't believe the prophets and the apostles. Why? Because somebody said it? Because somebody said, oh, it's not true. It was written by men. Yeah, it was written by men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen? A natural man in his own mind, in his own ability, could not predict what we are seeing happen 2,000 years before it happened. As a warning that Jesus Christ is going to return and deal with the wicked. It's confirmation of everything the Bible says, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. That the cross, that what Jesus did on the cross is real. That he did rise from the dead. That he did ascend into heaven and that he will return. Amen? Jesus coming back is a good thing. But unlike you've been told by some preachers, there's a lot of stuff that's got to happen before he does. So be prepared. Share it. I'm telling you. This right here to me is just one of the... You talk about Bible prophecy of the end time. Israel becoming a nation in 1948. Israel taking back Jerusalem in 1967. Fulfilling Isaiah 11, fulfilling Ezekiel 38, 36 through 38, 39, about Israel being a nation again, about them possessing Jerusalem. Now, those are huge, right? But to me, this one is just as huge. This is even more specific. You think about, you could not believe, you could decide, well, I don't believe that Israel becoming a nation again, Bible prophecy, or significant. You can believe that and not affect your eternal home, your eternal destiny. But what you believe about this, the mark of the beast, and what you do with it, can and will determine your eternal destiny. That's why it's important. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to quit. Let's stand. I hope you got blessed. Did we have a problem with this, or did it still work? Did it cut off, or we have to cut it back on? Just kept working? All right. I know what was going on over there. Well, we appreciate those who have been listening by Blog Talk Radio, those watching by Periscope this morning. Hope you learned something. Hope you could see. You can look this stuff up. I may post all the links. I've got more I didn't even show you. So I got a list. I've been compiling some of this stuff for the last few weeks. But we're going to pray for you and pray for everyone here. And then we'll be dismissed. If you got a tithe or offering, you drop it in the basket back there. In fact, Paul, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word, your promises, your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your guidance in our lives. We thank you for providing all of our needs, for your peace. We thank you for the ministry of Fire and Grace Church. We pray that you would further the ministry, that it would reach many. And we pray that you would guide the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.